American law does not have a rich history punishing people for art forgery, though, like a lot of art crime, this has less to do with lack of will than opportunity. For a variety of reasons, there simply aren't a lot of forgers caught in the United States. This is what makes the case of Mark Landis all the more interesting. According to the art newspaper in New York Times, he has been traveling the country, giving museums paintings he says are the work of more famous artists. So far, no legal action has been taken against him, and there is some doubt if any can be. For one thing, he apparently hasn't sold any of the pieces to museums, and for another, his motivation to simply see his work hanging on walls has had a disarming effect. But, as it happens, the impetus for forgery isn't always money. It certainly wasn't for the most infamous American forger of the last half century, Mark Hoffman. His primary motivation for inventing documents supposedly created by founders of the Mormon Church was to embarrass the elders and hierarchy. It was only later that he became addicted to the considerable money and prestige that accrued to him when he continued to, quote, find these documents. Prestige, commingled with revenge, was also the stated motivation of Hans von Meegeren, the 20th century's most notorious forger. When the Northern European art world rejected his own work, von Meegeren set about forging works by Johann Vermeer. Regardless of these men's motivations, the harm was the same. Still, the lack of money in the Landis case does complicate things. At the federal level, there is a fine statute for prosecuting art theft, but not one specifically for forgery. So these are prosecuted, when they're prosecuted, under fraud statutes, mail fraud, wire fraud, conspiracy to defraud. And these usually do the trick. Unfortunately, $0 is less than $5,000, the amount federal prosecutors require for non-governmental fraud. Several states, on the other hand, have laws specifically concerning art forgery, regardless of the money involved. Ohio's law is fairly typical. It prohibits what it calls criminal simulation. It says that no person shall make or alter any object so that it appears to have value because of antiquity, rarity, curiosity, source, or authorship. But even though money isn't a stated element, unless there is more than $500 involved, the crime is only a misdemeanor. Anyway, a recent review of case law suggests that the heart of America is not a hotbed of easily spotted art forgery. Crimes prosecuted under this Buckeye statute include knockoff DVDs, CDs, purses, baby formula, and $100 bills, but no Monets, Manets, or Picassos. Of course, the criminal realm isn't the only one that protects our legal interests. Civil courts are a popular place for museums to go when they discover what they thought was a Bernini from Naples was really a Joe from Paramus, New Jersey. In the civil system, too, fraud is a heavy hitter, and museums who feel they were duped by Landis might go this route. But again, money is the problem. The law, like Renaissance artists, likes a nice round figure, and while even donations require some expenditure on the part of a museum, it is unlikely to be enough to make a civil case worth the effort. Unless one of these art museums built a wing to accommodate one of Landis's pieces, there's not a lot they can hope to gain at trial. But forgery does real harm, not only to the integrity of individual collections, but also the art world in general, not to mention the legacy of the victim artist. That's a fact that needs to be considered by an aggrieved museum or creative prosecutor. While going to court might not make sense on an individual level, it might be just what the art world needs. I'm Travis McDade.